John chapter 21. I want to thank all you dear ones for praying for me. God bless you. And I wanted to justify myself a little bit about not being out at prayer meeting. I asked to be brought there, but the consensus was no, I was not to play the hero, and so I didn't come. But I did this. I said, we're having a prayer meeting at the house, and we read the portion and discussed it, and I explained it, and then we prayed. We had a prayer meeting down on the farm. Now, John chapter 21. The message today is a prophecy and a recollection of youth and old age. I'll read two scriptures. John 21. I'm abbreviating this portion. Our Savior asked Simon Peter whether he loved him. And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He says, take care of my flock. Now, look at verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when you shall become old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee where you will not want to go. Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. And I'm going to give you a little more exact translation. 11. When I was a child, I talked as a child, I felt as a child, I reasoned as a child. But now that I have become a man, I have done away with, abolished, childish things. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the Word of God, and the Word of God abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, as the flower of grass, but the Word of the Lord abideth forever. We are thankful, our God, that we believe this, that is what it's meant to us. We've read portions from it today. And now, just as from the very beginning, your word has been read and expounded, that is our desire this morning, that by your Spirit, we shall be illumined and empowered and enabled to feed the lambs and the sheep, and also to preach the gospel, if any are here, not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know all things that are necessary. So undertake for us, we pray, our God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as you have promised. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There are some things in life over which you have no control. There are other things in life over which you do have control. And the two portions that I read to you this morning are illustrations of each. One, circumstances, occurrences over which Peter had no control. The other was a matter over which someone did have control. Listen to them and contrast them, and you will understand the importance of these two scriptures. Because this morning, God willing, I'm talking about a prophecy and a recollection of youth and old age, and it will be more exhortation, prodding. The night, if you want consolation and comfort, you will have to come out. That's the next part. So, in these two portions, think. Our Savior said to Simon, when you were young, you girded yourself, and that means to put on your clothes, you dressed yourself, you girded yourself, you walked around where you will. That's what it literally says. Where you will. He said, but when you shall become an old man, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee where you will not want to go. Now, these were circumstances over which Simon had absolutely no control. It was the determination of the Lord Jesus Christ as to how his life would develop and how his life would end. There was nothing he could do about that. The Savior prophesied, and his prophecy was infallible. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it was a different matter. Listen carefully. This is Paul speaking. He's probably in his 50s. And he said, when I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. Now that I have become, now that I am a man, I have put away childish things. And the word, put away childish things, is a startling word. It's the same word that Christ came to destroy him who had the power of death. It's the katargeo, to render an operative, to abolish, that Christ came to do to Satan. The Apostle Paul said, these childish things that characterized my life when I was young. He said, when I became a man, I abolished them. I controlled them. And so this was different. There are some things that are going to happen to us over which we have no control. There are other things into which we develop, over which we have all control. By the grace of God, things do not have to be that way. We do not have to continue in our manhood to talk as a child, to think as a child, to reason as a child. There should come a time when we put away childish things. That is up to you. But ultimately, how long you're going to live, and how you're going to die, and how your life shall develop as you grow old, that is determined by our Savior. Now, understand this, that no man, as it says in Ecclesiastes 3, it speaks about a time to be born and a time to die, that is completely determined by God, when you're born and when you die. With this variation, in Psalm 55, speaking of wicked, evil men, it says, they live not out half their days. Had they not been wicked and evil men, they would have lived out all their days. But God had the number of days they were to live, but because they were deceitful and bloodthirsty men, God said, they will not live out half their days. And the scripture that we should know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You say obedience? Yes. And so it may be that, as in the case of John the Baptist, God says, you have 30 years. John the Baptist, though he died at 30 years of age, lived out all his days. But concerning Absalom, the son of David, because of his disobedience and rebellion against his father. It's like unto Psalm 55. This wicked one lived not out half his days. So here are two portions that God is talking about. He's talking about things over which we have no control. That's in the case of Peter in John 21. And he's talking about things over which we do have control. And so the first thing we're going to do is to consider the matter about Peter, the things over which he had no control. And this is a prophecy, you understand. A prophecy by our Savior. And if you look at prophecies, at times, a prophecy will look back in a man's life, and then it will look forward in a man's life. And so this is our Savior himself, about half of 80 years. Here he is, a young man, telling what is going to happen to Peter when he becomes an old man. Now, this portion means much to me for various reasons. And one of them is this. I'm going to tell you in a moment about what is meant, what is contained in the words, when you were young. But knowing the life of Peter, knowing that he was a man who could curse and swear to God and tell lies, knowing this, that in Luke chapter 5, when he was in the presence of our Savior, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The thing that rejoices my heart is this, that a man like unto Peter in character can look at the Lord Jesus and say, I love you." That is only good people, those that had never done anything wrong, those that were not inclined to be sinful. Suppose only they could say, "Lord, I love you." But you see, no matter what you've been in the past, if the Lord Jesus comes and touches your life, then you can become one who can say to the Savior, in spite of all your failures, "Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love you." Now that is a beautiful thought, because it says in 1 John, we love him. We love because he first loved us. And whereas in Adam, whereas if we are sons of the evil one, we are like unto our father. But having been born again and become children of God, we are like our heavenly Father. And the Bible says, God is love, and therefore, his children are able to love. No matter what you've been, the time can come in your life when you can look into the face of Jesus Christ and say, "Lord Jesus, I love you." I hope that that day will come in your life. And not only so, but also those who have trusted Christ as Savior, so often sin and secret desires are harbored in the heart in such a way that they're ashamed to tell the Lord Jesus they love him, and they do not tell him they love him. Why? Because if I loved him, my life would not be the way that it is. That's true in one sense, but still, you can say, whatever you've been, if you've been born again, you can tell the Lord Jesus you love him. And I promise you this, that if you will get rid of those weights and those sins that so easily beset us, you'll find yourself saying more and more, "Lord Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now, another thing is this. As you read certain portions of the Word of God, you reflect upon them, and you say, "I wonder if that is going to be like my life should be at the end." Because here, there are two lives. Here is John, the beloved, and the Savior said concerning him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" And so some are going to tarry until the Lord comes, whatever the interpretation is. But others the Lord looks at and says, when you were young, but when you shall become old, and he speaks of hard things that are going to happen, changes that are going to come into your life. And I confess that I have thought about that before any of these changes came into my life. And just as in the book of Job, Job says, that which I feared has come upon me. And so that is what happens. You say, my Lord, my life can either be like Peter's or it can be like John's. And so you don't say, let it be like John's, but you're apprehensive and say, well, I certainly hope it's not like Peter's. But, just as Job said, the very thing that I didn't want to happen, that I feared, it's come upon me. Now, this is what I mean. I want to tell you a little bit and how marvelously descriptive the brief character sketch that is given of Peter in such a few words is as spoken by our Lord. He says, amen, amen, I say to you. When you were young, younger, but still young, because it doesn't say when you get older, young and old, when you were young, you dressed yourself. That is strength and independence. I don't need your help for anything. When you were young, you dressed yourself, and it says you walked around. That's freedom to go where you want to. And it says, you walk where you will. Tax is self-will and self-indulgence. Isn't that good? You like that when you're young, you see? Because when you're young, you're strong. You don't need anybody's help. You can dress yourself. You can go where you want to go. And you can do what you will to do. That's a wonderful life, according to the flesh. But I told you last week about one whose life was just the opposite of that, Anna. I told you that probably when she was in her teens, 15 or 16 years old, her father probably selected a husband for her. What kind of will is that? None. Then she lived with her husband 7 years. And he died. And then, as a widow, she had lived 84 years. And instead of living it up after she was freed from her husband, she was continually occupied with religious activities. And instead of eating and drinking, it said she was constantly fasting, a denial of the things of the flesh. You say, what kind of life is that? Why, it's no kind of life in comparison to the life that Peter had lived. Young, you girded yourself, you walked around, you did what you willed to do. That's life. But the Savior says, I'm going to bring that to an end. And understand that it is not Peter here, as it's Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 that is going to bring this about. It is the Lord Jesus that is going to bring it about. Now, you must understand that he said similar things about the Apostle Paul. Because in Acts chapter 9, when he was converted, Ananias was told this. He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. Now, that's what God told Ananias. I wonder if Ananias went and said, do you know how many things you have to suffer? What your life is going to be in the future? But here with the Apostle Paul, for the suffering. But understand that it is suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is determined. There are some things over which you have no control. And the sufferings of the Apostle Paul, There was no control. And the development and consummation of Peter's life, there was no control. So let's look at it, because here is a prophecy concerning youth and old age. Let us see just what our Savior says about Peter. He says, when you were young, You dressed yourself, you walked about where you were. Now, this is what I'm telling you about you, because I take it from the scriptures as a whole that that's what is meant. It says this. It says, the glory of young men is their strength. And it says in 1 John chapter 2, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. And so it says in Proverbs, the glory of young men is their strength. And I know Peter was strong, even as an older man. Why? Because when they caught 153 fishes, the Savior said, bring those fishes to land. And Peter, it says, went and took 153 fishes and dragged them up out of the sea to the land. He had strength in his youth. Now, not only that, but another thing that's associated with you is this. It speaks about foolishness, and it speaks about sins. Paul writes to Timothy, flee youthful lust. And in the first epistle, he speaks about youthful lusts as well, evil things, and they are a tendency of you. You must understand it. It's not anything about you that is different from other people. They are by nature desires that are displeasing to God. And God says, flee youthful lusts. But what happens is this, that many times in our youth we do not flee youthful lusts. And inasmuch as I see Peter's behavior, I understand that he in his youth did not flee youthful lusts. Why? Where do you think he learned to curse and swear and tell lies? I was pretty good at it before I went into the Navy, and then I learned and became even better there in my youth. And so if you read in Matthew chapter 26, you'll find that there, and in chapter 27, concerning our Savior, you'll find much about this man. So here he is in his youth. He has those desires. And the first time in Luke 5, when this miraculous draft of fishes is caught, he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And listen to what the psalmist says, and listen to what Job says. David says in Psalm 45, he says, remember not the sins of my youth, O Lord. Remember thy loving kindness, you see. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh, David, in your youth you had sins? Well, of course you do. And when Job's friends are coming, he says to them, why, you are bringing up the sins of my past, the sins of my youth, against me. And so if you think over your life as a young person, is there anyone here who can say, in my youth, I never did anything wrong of which I am ashamed? I was willing to have God listen and have all the things that I've done in my youth reviewed before him. I think I'm going to cry out with David. Remember not the sins of my youth, O Lord. Remember me in loving kindness. And I'm going to say, when you get after me and you're telling me my faults, you're bringing up my past, my youth, the things that I did in my youth against me. And so here he is, a young man. And so the Lord says, when you were young, that's what you were. He says that when you shall become old, when you grow old, things are going to change. Now, at least there is this consolation. The Lord told him he wasn't going to die young. He said, when you shall become old. So that's good. And so if I look at it, and Lord, I'm going to grow old, yes, but not necessarily in the sense that you read about the Old Testament patriarchs. He died in old age, full of days. It describes a contented death. But in the case of Peter, it's not that way. But at least he said, you're not going to die young. You're not going to die like John the Baptist. So here is Peter, and he's told he's going to live to be an old man. But his whole life long now, he must look forward to the time when his youth and his strength are gone, and also the very evil things that he might be tempted to do will put to an end. Something very funny was given in an answer by Billy Graham. Someone wrote him and asked him a question. He said, Dear Brother Graham, he said, I as a young man have temptations, the lust of the flesh. He said, you've been preaching for many years now. Do you still have those lusts of the flesh? And Brother Graham answered this way. He said, yes, he said, I still do. But I'm so old now, it doesn't make any difference. And so that is one consolation. If when you are strong, you have the strength to indulge in sins, but he candidly said, yes, that you are not able to indulge in those things anymore. So here is Peter, and he's going to grow old, but then the strength is gone. But now look, he walked where he wanted to go. I remember that the last time that my independence was controlled was by my mother. When I was 17 years old, if you joined the military, you had to have your parent to sign for you. And so I ingratiated myself to my mother and got her to put her name on the dotted line. And then I walked about where I wanted to. Oh, there were always those sergeants and those petty officers that were telling you what to do, restricting you. But any time I could get a pass to go into town with me, I walked around where I wanted to. I had freedom. That's what I've been looking forward to. And so that's what I had right after I was 17. And it said, and you did what you wanted to. And so it was not thy will be done, but it was my will be done, and who cares anything about God's will? But Peter, when he was young, it was his own will. You walk where you will. And so here he has strength, and he has independence, and he has freedom, and he has self-will. And the Lord said, when you get old, all of those things are going to be taken away from you. So isn't that something to look forward to? You say, well, if they are the way in which you describe them, yes, it's a good thing for them to be taken away. And that is what it says in Lamentations and in the Psalms. Isn't it what the book of Lamentations says? It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. What does it mean? Well, who wants to have a yoke? That, if it's time to be done, the farmer that's in charge would get his oxen and put that yoke over his oxen, and then the oxen didn't do what they wanted to do. They did what the farmer wanted them to do. And in Lamentations 3, it says, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. I assure you it was an old man that said that. It wasn't a young man, but one that had lived and looked back and said, yes, it is good that I've been restrained from doing the things that I wanted to do. And the psalmist says this, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I might keep thy commandments. And so this is upon reflection. You look back and see how things were and how they are, and you see that things are better the way the Lord wants them to be than the way you wanted them to be. That if you had your way, they would continue the rest of your life. Not then. God says, those things are going to change. Another consolation is this. Think of one who had lived such a life, one who publicly had cursed and with an oath swore, lied, that he did not even know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says to him, let me ask you this question, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. And Lord said, all right, then take care of my flock. What if you knew a man of Peter's character was standing before you trying to tell you how to live? Well, if what he was in the past had been brought under control, And now, the life that God empowers him to live is manifested. You can accept that. And this is what I found, that it is good if a person has not lived a simple life in the past, but the benefit of it is this, that unless his mind is completely gone, when he stands before you, there will be compassion, and there will be understanding, and there will be an entering into the temptations that you have in life. Whereas a person that's never done anything wrong, you look at his life, why, he can stand before you like that older son did in Luke chapter 15. And this is what he said when his father was talking to him, reasoning with him. He said, I never did any of these things like your son did. I never spent your substance in riotous living. I never did those things. And the last son who did not stand up and with that attitude speak to you, and you reject that exhortation, and you would prefer one who had done those things, who had been in the far country and had returned. So this is our Savior, and this is his prophecy concerning Peter, when he was young and when he was to be old. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for your great goodness to us. We see what Peter was when you came to him. I am a simple man, O Lord. We see what Isaiah was when you came to him. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. We are all as an unclean thing. And yet, Father, you come to us. But man is clean, and you came to him for that reason. Not you and your son. Your son came into the world to save sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, they that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent it. We are thankful, Father, that you save sinners. And then having saved sinners, you empower them to live the life for you that you would have them to live. And also, Father, you give them the great honor of serving you, caring for the people of God. And so from your great salvation, where it's being in its origin with thee, and from beginning to end, salvation being of the Lord, we give thee thanks. So let us consider these things that our Savior said about Peter. And we are young, and while we are young, Father, may we of our own volition change these things, and not, O God, because of the infirmities of old age, and because of circumstances, be compelled to change these things. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.